Kat, I know you're not going to try to eat my fucking
ring.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a very special Uncanny Treks episode. That's right. It's Uncanny Treks Covers Episode 5, My Adventures with Superman. Where is Uncanny Treks Covers My Adventures of Superman Episode 4? I don't know, Matt. Do you?
I don't know, Bob. Two lanes diverged, and I didn't follow either of them.
Yeah, I honestly don't remember what happened in that episode, but I believe you texted me that morning and said there's nothing to talk about, and I watched it, and I was like, yeah, you're right, there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah, to give you a quick little synopsis of what I can remember, Bob, Sam Lane moved out and went on a little adventure with Lois, and some of the same villains we've already seen showed up.
Yeah. Is it just me, or do modern, like, animated series, do they do this thing of they introduce something that you think is going to be an ongoing plot, and then they quickly solve it the next episode?
Oh, yeah. That's a common thing, just to try to get you... Because you want to see what it's going to be like for Sam Lane to live with Clark and Jimmy, but it's only going to happen...
Well, I mean, I didn't, but...
Well, some people may want to, and then they're going to let that last for a single episode. They're not going to let it last longer than that. Which is what they did. They did exactly what we thought they would. But the only thing we do need to remember, though, in Two Lanes Diverged, Clark did set off the beacon, which brought in Supergirl for the episode we're talking about today.
And then, I guess his backstory, wasn't there the whole thing where Lois wanted to talk about the Vicki Vale job offer and Superman wanted to talk about Supergirl and neither ever brought it up to the other?
That's right. They haven't talked to each other in like 5 episodes. So apparently they're a horrible couple.
So... Going into Most Eligible Superman, Matt, I was expressing to you before we started recording, I didn't like this episode, but I liked it, I guess, enough to have recorded an episode about it, and I was annoyed. I would have preferred it just sucked a little more, and I could have been, no, we can stop talking about this show.
Yeah, it has a really cheesy plot with this whole contest of who's the most eligible bachelor in Metropolis, and then segues into some interesting stuff with Supergirl and Kara. So we're more latched onto the Supergirl Kara stuff, I believe, at least in my opinion. I was more interested in that aspect than the real plot they were trying to give.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Huge, huge Supergirl fan. I'm embarrassed to admit this, but at one point I even liked the Supergirl show in the 2010s. I should probably be shot for saying that.
Yeah, I never really got into that one, but I mean, it seems like carried over a little bit of some of that stuff, maybe.
Especially, this wasn't a thing before that Supergirl show, right? The Supergirl Jimmy Olsen romance.
That's what I'm thinking of. Yes, I think that's a newer thing.
Yeah, yeah. Although in the portrayal personality wise couldn't be more different. Like Supergirl in the Supergirl show is even more of a softie than Superman is in this show. But here she's hard, she's Kryptonian, she's a warrior, and that's fine. Either is a valid interpretation as far as I'm concerned.
Well, Bob, what's your comparison of Calista Flockhart as Cat Grant versus what you see here in this cartoon?
I didn't love Calista Flockhart in the Supergirl show. And if I remember right, they also wrote her out in a pretty abrupt and weird way. But it's much better than here. I hate this show's version of Cat Grant. I don't know. There's just something so weird and demeaning about having Cat and Ron Troop and Steve Lombard being in their 30s. And then interacting with child Lois and Jimmy and Clark. I don't know. It's just something so demeaning and weird about it. And I hate it.
They're interns.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Kat should be an over-the-top character, but she shouldn't be this much of a moron.
They pulled her straight. I think I've said this before. They pulled her straight up with her 90s portrayal, specifically from Lois and Clark. I don't remember if you remember her from that show.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Same energy.
Kat should be a gossip columnist and she should be a little shallow, but you should adjust to make her tolerable to the decade. What did you think about Supergirl and her mostly civilian clothes, although she still has her Kryptonian house symbol on her scarf or jacket or whatever?
Well, I mean, it was okay. She's got one of those weird haircuts that are, I guess, is common now, like amongst people, where the shorter end, you shave part of it and have like long hair over it.
Yeah.
They're really making that, trying to make that a style, at least in anime.
Yeah. I don't know. It was fine. I thought it might have been funnier if Supergirl had, in fact, hated ice cream when Jimmy gave her ice cream. I think that might have been a better gag myself.
Were you just disappointed, Bob, that she just didn't show up butt naked like she did in the early aughts?
No, that's I think that's Jeff Loeb and Ian Churchill on Batman/Superman. That's super creepy. Not okay.
Yeah,
I'm really glad she was dressed.
It was weird even back then. It was two whole issues of her just like butt naked walking around. I mean, really? Come on.
Yeah.
No, it was awful.
Now, that was a reoccurring problem with that version of Supergirl and the aughts, of just the most sexually explicit covers of this girl who's supposed to be 16.
It was creepy. Very creepy. The other thing too, Bob, did you notice there's a random spaceship on the back of her jacket?
Oh, no, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, it said generic UFO looking thing. I'm thinking that she just saw that and was, oh, I'm from a spaceship. I should get this.
Or maybe it's what the ship is going to look like, since the vest thing has like Kryptonian symbol.
Could be, Bob. Could be.
That's interesting, though. Yeah. I guess to keep moving, one part of this I did enjoy was when we're at the Bachelor contest or the Bachelor and Bachelorette contest, and we have George Taylor in the audience. And I just had this very funny to me mental image of a bigot screaming at the TV screen. Not only did they make Perry White black, they made George Taylor black too.
Yes, we've come a long way, Bob.
That's good. It's good. Yeah. So George Taylor, if folks don't know, was the original Perry White. He was the editor of the Golden Age Superman and Lois. Well, and I think, was it the Daily Star back then, I think?
Yeah, the Daily Star. Yeah. Way back in the day. Way, way back in the day.
Yeah, we talked in the 1940s and maybe early 50s. I'm not actually sure when Perry and the Daily Planet. No, I think they probably came in late 40s because I think this show, the Adventures of Superman show, is probably what transitioned it.
Yeah. Well, Bob, we had another extremely eligible bachelor who we've already met once with Hank Henshaw. Cyborg Superman. It also turns out, too, that Hank Henshaw does not like Superman, does not like aliens.
He's talking some Lex Luthor points. He's talking some Elon Musk points.
Yeah, Earth is for Earthlings. Yeah,
Earth is for Earthlings, man.
That's gonna roll. That rolls right off the tongue.
Yeah, no, I mean, clearly has no relevance to contemporary politics at all. Not even a little. Did you recognize the other two more obscure competitors? So we had Chandi Gupta and Brilliant. Do either of those names ring a bell?
Not a clue, Bob. I didn't know.
I had to look them up. They didn't ring bells for me either. Berna Brilliant is the gender fluid Wonder Woman villain, the Blue Snowman.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Old school, like 1940s Wonder Woman villain. And then I actually have read comics with Chandi Gupta, but I didn't remember her. Her superhero name is Maya. You know, as her civilian name would suggest, she's from India and she's a member of the Justice League Europe in the early 90s, but she hasn't been around very much since then.
Oh, yeah. The only other character I recognized on the panel, Bob, was Silver St. Cloud, although she is portrayed very differently here, aesthetically.
Yeah. I hated it. I hated it so much. They turned Silver St. Cloud into like a TikTok influencer for charity. What the hell?
Body positivity, Bob. Body positivity.
No, I don't care about that. That's whatever. No, just making her this vapid, like, influencer is what bothered me. Yeah. Like, my God. I know you want to update the characters and their jobs to fit with the times, but as we've said before, it's so stupid. This show should have come out in 2009. It's just, everything is so twee millennial. It's so annoying.
Well, they're trying to hit that audience, Bob, that younger audience. So
no, they're not. Like, a younger audience doesn't want something that feels like it came out in 2009. I mean, they're trying to, but they're doing it in a stupid way. But my God, it's such a dated millennial aesthetic. I hate it.
Well, Silver St. Cloud comes on to Superman pretty hard, Bob. Were you down for that romance?
The more thing I was having a problem with was, look, I get that they want to have interpersonal drama between Clark and Lois, and that's fine, whatever. I don't, it's a romance show in part, but I just really hate Lois Lane having self-confidence issues. Lois is one of the most competent and capable people in the world, right? She doesn't have time for stupid crap like that. I don't know. It's just, I really hate how this show does Lois.
But Bob, have you looked at her? She's short. She has short hair. Come on. She's going to have trouble.
Well, and we did establish last season that she's literally the worst Lois in the entire multiverse.
Yeah. Exactly, Bob. You would have self-confidence issues, too, if it...
Oh, God. I did appreciate that at least metatextually, Supergirl shares my disgust with this episode in the contest. She shows up and is basically yelling at the writers, what is this crap?
Right. And, I mean, I agree that she kind of calls out Kal-El on how he looks and how he acts and... Just that he's soft. She flat out calls him soft.
Yeah. Well, she's not wrong. But then they have to ruin it and put her in a stupid Iron Man suit.
Yeah, we had seen this suit before in a previous episode. We didn't know who the character was. And we thought it might be Zod, remember? And it still could be whoever she's answering to, her father or whatever. But in this case, I mean, her outfit just looks bad.
It was nice that they got her out of the stupid Iron Man suit. I didn't love the suit she's in when she's out of the Iron Man suit, but it was a nice touch that it looked a little bit like there was a little bit of an homage in it to that 90s black Kryptonian battle suit that Superman had in the Reign of Superman.
Yeah, it vaguely reminded me of that weird outfit she had in the series I previously mentioned where she's with Darkseid. She goes bad because it's got the black to it.
Yeah, that definitely does seem to be an influence here, too, is that, yeah, they're doing evil Supergirl like Jeff Loeb and Ian Churchill did in that crappy Batman stroke Superman. Yeah, very much so. I don't mind the Kryptonians being the bad guys. I thought that was a little clever when they went there last season. But I don't know. I'm not super looking forward to a Supergirl redemption arc where she's Lady Zod, but then she's reclaimed by Superman's cousinly love.
Then she gets that really cool blue suit. It's going to be awesome. How'd you feel about the powers, Bob? What did Superman shoot out of his mouth at one point?
Oh, I didn't notice. I thought he just kind of projected some energy off himself. I didn't. By that point, I was too busy looking up who the blue snowman and Aya were.
He opens his mouth and he's like, no, and then he shoots stuff out of his mouth. And I thought it might be super breath or something. Because it causes everything, it causes snow, or it causes this white specks to fall from the sky.
Huh. I'm more vague. I wasn't paying that close attention.
God, Bob,
I'm more vague.
You miss Superman using all his new powers.
Have you ever read the Jeff Johns, John Romita stuff from, I would say, near the end of the New 52, not too long before Rebirth? It's interesting. It's certainly... I mean, other than the Grant Morrison, Rags Morales, New 52 Superman, all the New 52 Superman was horrible and forgettable. But the Johns and Romita Jr. stuff it's a distant second to that Grant Morrison stuff. And if I'm remembering it correctly, and I may not be, but if I'm remembering it correctly, they introduce a new sort of power for Superman where he can basically explode all his energy
right
out of his system.
I do remember that.
Yeah, and then he's powerless for 24 hours while he recharges from the sun. I thought they were going for not that exactly, but for something close to that.
He can do an ultimate move, but then he is exhausted.
Yes, that's what it is. It's an ultimate move. Thank you, Matt. Since it's a cliffhanger, we have to talk about the next episode. I don't really want to. I mean, maybe we might have the same thing that happened with the season one finale where we watched the end of the cliffhanger. And I'm just like, Matt, that's too boring. I don't want to talk about it, but I guess we're going to talk about the next episode.
Yeah, I got to see what happens to Supergirl, Bob. I got to see how she redeems herself.
Yeah, it's going to be called Machine Who Would Be Empire, which I will say that is an amusing title. There's a little bit of an echo of the Rudyard Kipling story and great movie with Sean Connery and Michael Caine, The Man Who Would Be King, which you should watch, man. I think you would enjoy. It has big Indiana Jones energy. And then it's also a little bit echoes. There's an Arcady Martin, a science fiction novel I like, called A Memory Called Empire. And so, yeah, the title sounds a little bit both those.
So what are they implying here, Bob, with Machine?
I think they're implying that Supergirl's dad is Brainiac. It could be that maybe they're going to go in a different direction, but I think that would be the easy money at least.
Yeah, it's bad because I can't remember in season one how much if Brainiac even showed up. So,
oh, was it?
I don't think he was. I don't think he did. No, that's why I get lost.
I mean, he well could have been, and I could have just forgotten.
No, I don't think he was. Possible. Yeah, that does make sense. So yeah, I'm thinking you're right, Bob. I'm thinking that maybe Supergirl thinks Brainiac is her father.
Did you hear the good news, Matt?
No, but what's the good news?
This was renewed for a season 3.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I did hear about that. I didn't know that was good news, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I think I put a sufficient ironic emphasis on good there, Matt.
No, yeah, well,
but thank you for making me doubt my podcast.
Well, Rob, I guess we'll...
You're turning me into Lois Lane over here. I'm just having real, real self-confidence issues. There's this Batman girlfriend who's offering me a job. Maybe I should go work for her.
Well, Bob, you're already tall. Just grow your hair out. You'll be the best, Lois.
I can't grow my hair out. It's summer. It's hot.
Oh, well. All right, Bob. Well...
All right. Well, join us next week, probably, for more Superman. We're Uncanny Treks. I'm Bob. That's Matt.
Thanks for listening, folks.